if you make to the book of John, Luke chapter 10, from verse 25 to 37. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37. About a couple of weeks back, we spoke about the road to Jericho. Now, you may listen to it online. If you go to our website, rccgaugusta.org, and click on messages, you'll see the road to Jericho part one. And I just want to talk about the road to Jericho part of verse 25 to 37. The road to Jericho part two. And I read to you from verse 25. It's a story you're all very familiar with, but permit me to read it one more time. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, talking about Jesus, saying, Master, what shall we do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And the teacher of the law said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind, and love thy neighbor as you love yourself. Verse 28. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Verse 29. The teacher of the law, trying to justify himself, said unto Jesus, So who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered him, saying, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he quickly passed on to the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the same place, he came, looked upon him, and passed on to the other side. Verse 33 now said, But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came to where the wounded man was. He saw him and had compassion on him. Everybody say compassion. Compassion. Everybody say compassion. Compassion. Verse 34. He went to him and bound up his wound, pouring wine and oil, and set him on his beast and brought him to the inn and took care of him. Verse 35 now said, In the morning when he departed, he took 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said to the host, Take, continue to take care of him, and whatever you spend more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now, Jesus now asked in verse 36, Which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And like we all will answer, and this man also in verse 37 said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do thou likewise. May the Lord bless the reason of his word in our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. You see, this story that Jesus was speaking about is the story of love. It's the demonstration and the expression of what love really means. Folks, at one moment in your life, everyone's life, we are going to find ourselves on the road to Jericho. And what will happen to you on whatever wherever Jericho is to you, that destination, what happens on that road will be revealing and life-changing also. On that road, you are going to meet up with actors that play out a role of revealing their understanding of what love is. This man was going from Jerusalem. He was heading to Jericho for a particular mission. But somehow, on his mission, he had encounters with people that changed his life. He had an encounter with three sets of people. Number one, he met with thieves who robbed him and wounded him, leaving him half dead. Take note, this road to Jericho that the man was going on, there were also on that same road thieves in there. You see, in your journey of life, whether you know it or you don't know it, whether you like it or you don't like it, you are going to encounter dream killers. Those who, for some strange reason, best known to them, will intentionally want to stop you from going forward. Now, it happens to everybody. Even Jesus had the devil that wanted to stop him from going forward. So don't think it's anything strange. But you see, when you have an understanding of what happens in life, you know how to deal with every situation as it comes to you. These dream killers would either come by trying to steal your ideas or kill your ideas. They might probably discourage you through the words they will speak to you or the actions that they will take. It's that same thing that you're laboring to do, and you are trying to, you are almost making success that they will want to take away from you at the same time. Now, the bad news about dream killers is that they will succeed. What did I say? What's the bad news about dream killers? They will succeed. You can't put that away. They would succeed. Now, the good news about dream killers in your life is that they will succeed also. So either way, good or bad, they will still succeed. But the good part is what you need to know about it. You see, Jesus said, I will build my church. And what will happen? Did he say hell will not come against it? No, he didn't say hell will not come against it. What he said is that it will not prevail. Okay? Nobody said it will not come against it. So trying to say, Lord, let dream killers disappear from my life. They will come. There's nothing you can do about that. And they will succeed in their own estimation, but not in God's estimation. Did they succeed in killing Jesus? Did they succeed in killing Jesus? Yes, now. But God turned that into something better that you and I are enjoying today. So don't worry too much about dream killers. Don't worry about those who discourage you. They're meant to be in your life for something. So this man that was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, on that road he fell amongst thieves that robbed him of what he had, beat him up, and left him half dead. On that same road that he was going, that same road that he fell among thieves, came the priest and the Levite, who saw him lying there, wounded, and crossed to the other side and kept on walking. Now, the priest and the Levites will have probably claimed that the reason why they could not touch a dead body was that if they do touch a dead body, they will become ceremonially unclean to walk in the temple of God. These people walked with God. They knew the laws of God. They walked in the temple of God, but they did not know the God of the temple. Neither did they understand the passion of the lawgiver. So all they saw was that if you touch a dead body, we will not be able to walk in the temple. So therefore, we cannot afford to touch a dead body. We don't even know what happened to him. So they would rather appear to be clean before God, when actually they're dirty on the inside. They would rather want to be, as it were, in right standing with God than to be contaminated by the man that fell amongst thieves. Now, because of this, there were people that were so judgmental that they don't even know how you got to where you got to, but they're quick to judge by saying it's something that he did. It's something that happened in their forefathers that did to these people's three fathers. That's why they're suffering for what they're suffering on. And they're quick in their judgment, and often at times, they're so very wrong in their judgment. Brethren, on the journey of life, as much as you meet those who want to stop you from making an advance or an advancement, you will equally meet those who will not do anything to help. You'll encounter those who know that you are struggling. You will encounter those who know you are in trouble, you are battered. You will encounter those who know that your life is generally over, who even know your history, but they will not do anything to help. It's okay. It's part of their job. They have love in them, and because they're children of God, they have love in them, yes. But the love that they have in them is called self-love, not selfless love. They are on the same road that you're traveling on. You've been there. Unfortunately, you failed, but they are traveling. The thieves are gone, and they see you there. But you know what? They're too busy to want to help you because they have their own mission. The Levites and the priests, they had a mission. They were going to church. They were going somewhere in a hurry, but the man who was there would contaminate them, so they had to move on and kept on moving. They have genuine reasons why they can't help you. They will sympathize with you. Perhaps they claim that they're praying for you, but they're still not going to help. It's just life. It's just what it is. By the way, when we're talking about sympathy, sympathy is seeing somebody in trouble and shake your head and say, oh, what a pity. Anyway, God will help. And you move on. Even when you ask for help, they still will not help because they're too busy doing something else. It's just life. You will encounter such things in life. It's just life. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just the way things are. But then on that same road where there were thieves, where there are priests and Levites, also are those who we call the Samaritans. This Samaritan man was going on that same road where there were once thieves. There was a guy who was beaten down where the priest and Levites passed, that same road. He saw the wounded man. And the Bible said he had compassion in him. Compassion is saying, not only do you sympathize with the person, but you also make up your mind to do something to help the person out of that situation. I hope you know that the man was half dead. Right? So in other words, it was just there. The priest even bothered to check a pulse. He moved on. The Levites came, he moved on. The thieves thought he was dead. They left him. But this Samaritan, the Bible said, he had compassion in him. I said, my goodness, this is the same road I'm going on. If I had come about 5 minutes earlier, maybe this could have been me. But this guy is here. The same thing, the same road I'm on. This guy fell within the space that he was. As a result of the compassion he had in him, he took the following step. Could you go to verse 36, verse 35, please? As a result of the compassion that was within him, look at what this man did. Verse 34. The Bible said he did this. Look at what he did. He had compassion in him. The Bible said, first of all, he did what? He went to him. Note, this man wasn't even asking for help, but it was obvious this guy, there was something wrong with him. He went to him to look and say, what is going on? Secondly, he realized that this guy was alive. He was not dead. So the compassion made hope and love come out of him and say, well, he's just half dead. That means he's half alive. The Bible said immediately he bound his wound by pouring in oil and wine. That's first aid. It could be first aid, yeah? Let me just call it that. He did what he could do just to help the wound, maybe stop the bleeding or the bruise or bind it up or something. Number three thing that he did was that he carried the man and put him upon his own donkey. Remember, the Samaritan was going somewhere, but now he realized that I can give this man hope. I know I'm busy, but let me give hope to this guy. So he looked, he bound him up, poured wine and water, put him on his donkey. He took him to the ER, or he took him somewhere where he could nurse the guy. The Bible said he brought him into an inn, not even his own home. He took him somewhere where he could bind him. The fifth thing that he did was that he took care of him. Now, remember, this guy was wounded, left half dead, rejected by the priest and the Levite. But he took it upon himself that, no, I can help this guy. There's hope for him. I can do something. He did what he could do by his own self. Verse 35 now said, after he had cared for him through the night, the next day, he knew the guy was stable enough, but he still had his own destination where he was going. He now turned to the innkeeper and said, here, this is some money. Please, help me take care of this guy. I promise you, on my way back, if you spend more than what I've given to you, I will repay you. This Samaritan demonstrated that compassion talks about helping. Compassion talks about being anointed well enough to understand that the anointing that you have is to go about to do good. He was not too busy to help the person that was helpless. He was not too busy to see that something is wrong with this person here. He did something. He was even asking that, why did he come earlier? Why did he go? No. He knew something was wrong and he behaved himself. You see, the story of the Samaritan is a story of love. When that young man was asking Jesus, what should I do to inherit eternal life? He said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind and everything. He said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus said, good job. You know the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation. And the man tried to justify himself. Said, who's my neighbor, by the way? I said, don't worry, I'll tell you. Your neighbor is anybody that is within the sphere, the space of your influence. Your neighbor is anybody that is close enough to you. I'm not talking far away. I'm not talking about you going, it's okay if you do it, going to Western Union and send the money for them to finish your house in Africa. It's okay, but there are things around you that can be compassionate enough to help. Jesus went about doing good, healing those who were sick, delivering those who were oppressed, because God was with him. The Samaritan was somebody that was outside had no relationship with him. Was somebody that just saw that this guy needs help, he needs to be promoted. Maybe that's what happened to you, sir. This guy needs to be promoted. Let's get him into promotion. You see, love is a demonstration of compassion. By the way, is anybody aware that God showed his love unto mankind by sending the gift of salvation? Are you aware that God sent his son not to judge the world, but rather to save the world? Are you aware that the love of God that he sent out was to help us, is not to condemn us? Are you aware that Jesus did not do anything, nothing wrong, and yet he died like a common criminal? Is anybody aware of that? Don't you know that's what they call love?
He wasn't the one that did anything wrong. We are the ones that wronged him. And yet the guy said, it's me that was wrong. It was him that said, okay, let me die on their behalf. Has anybody ever thought about this? By the way, let me ask a question. It's not a trick question. When did Jesus die on the cross? About how many years ago? Roughly. What? About 2,000 years ago. How many of you are at least 2,000 years old here? All right, that's not good. How many of you are at least 500 years old? Okay, how about 100? Think about it. Is your hand going up? 100. Think about it. Jesus died for your sin 2,000 years ago. Before your four, five fathers came together, he had died already and paid the price for your sin. Do you understand what love means? Before you even sinned, he had already paid the price. Thank you, Jesus. His compassion was that, I know you're going to go wrong anyway. Let me just prepare the right for you because I still know you will go wrong. If you understand the love, what love means, oh my goodness, you will not be too judgmental. If you understand what love is all about, when you see someone that needs help, you don't say, I don't want to infringe on his privacy. No, no, no. You jump to that privacy and drag him out of that place. You see somebody who needs something. You know he needs it. You know she needs it. And yet we hold yourself from it. Oh, I'm too busy. Maybe tomorrow. You know what? I'll be praying for him. Pray for who? Just like this lawyer, just like the priest and the Levites, they love God. They love God so much. But they don't understand the love behind the God. Not knowing that loving God is not upwards only, but it's like this. You can't tell me you love God that you do not see when you do not love the man that you see. It's because we don't understand what love is. It's because we have no appreciation of God's love. That's why it's difficult for us to extend love to one another. But that is going to break now. Because now we're going to behave like people that understand what love is all about. As a victim, probably you've fallen to thieves, to dream catchers, dream killers. You will rise again in Jesus' name. Are you afraid to say amen? I said amen. You will rise again in Jesus' name. The good news is this. Jesus said, I know your works. Behold, I hold before you an open door that no man can shut. In other words, it's simply saying that that which brought you down, he can deal with it. He will make you rise again. And indeed, you will rise again in Jesus' name. Love will find you. No matter where you are, love will find you in the name of Jesus. On that same road that you seem to have fallen, those who will walk on it in safety will come and they will rescue you from that road. You will live and not die to declare the glory of the Lord indeed in Jesus' name. Amen. The bad news is this. If you're the victim, you're sure. But the bad news is this. If you're like the priest or like the Levite who's highly critical in a negative way of your fellow brother or sister, who looks for what is wrong with them without any solution, who makes what they have done wrong to be the bone of your contention? Who quotes the scripture that the Bible says do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever? The one that says his sin can contaminate me, so therefore let him stay his own way, I stay my own way. You have forgotten what Jesus did. You don't understand Jesus. In this church, I've encouraged everyone, read the gospel. If you read the gospel, you see how Jesus operated. Most of the things we've been taught in the past is not true. One of the biggest issues that we have in the church today is that we believe that not until you give your life to Jesus before miracles begin to occur in your life. But that's not true. That's not true. Tell me which miracle that Jesus performed that he asked anybody, what did you do wrong? Do you believe in me? Repent. Shout hallelujah 7 times. And then I will heal you. Where? No place. The guy who was by the pool, lying down there, that nobody will help him for 38 years. Has anybody thought about that?
That guy was in that destitute position for 38 years. Nobody helped him. In fact, he has been there before Jesus was born. And when finally Jesus went to him and said, "You, out of everybody, you are going out of this place," he left. First of all, those who were there with him are just wondering what just happened. The miracle that will occur in your life, people will be looking at you and say, "What happened?" Because God will raise you up from that place that you've been so familiar with pain, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Finally, the priest saw him. And all they could say, "Why are you carrying your mat on Sabbath day?" A guy who has been destitute for 38 years. All they could see was breaking the law of God, not knowing that the love of God has broken the suffering in that guy's life. The love of God will set you free in Jesus' name. Let me close with this. Jesus said, "Go and do likewise. Be like the Samaritan. This I'm doing for myself and I'm doing for a while. And I hope you'll be able to catch on to what I'm saying." The question you should ask yourself is this. When you say something or do something for somebody else, ask yourself the question, is what I'm saying or doing adding and preserving life for this person, or depleting and destroying the person's life? What I'm saying, what I'm doing, is it improving the life of this person or destroying the life of the person? What do I mean by this? The Samaritan took action to give hope to that man. The priest and the Levite took action that made sure that guy will die, bleed to death. And they were righteous people. They were holy people who were supposed to know what Jesus wanted. But they were more into, why did he walk in that place too? You shouldn't have done that. Like a country I know, if you get into trouble from that country, say, what did they do there too? Other countries will come and rescue them and say, no, don't jail our citizen there. We're jailing my home. We're come to take him. But that shows compassion. So the question is like, your action, your words towards somebody else, is it to help the person be better, or is it to kill, destroy the person? Because you can easily know how you're operating. Just ask yourself, when I'm talking to this person, am I trying to make the person better, or am I trying to make the person worse? The action I'm taking, will it improve somebody's life, or will it deplete the person's life? If you can answer the question correctly, then you'll be aware of the level of your demonstration of love unto others. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but rather through him the world should be saved. You are an extension of God's love. Whatever you give, whatever you say, is an extension of you. If you're judgmental, you'll always judge people, most especially in the wrong way. I read something about John Lennon. How many of you know John Lennon? Okay, the old school will know him. Anybody heard about the Beatles? John Lennon was one of them. He wrote a very beautiful inscription that really inspired me. Well, he didn't go to church, but he said something about love. He said, "It doesn't matter who you love, where you love, how you love, when you love. What matters is that you love." I say that again. It doesn't matter who you love, where you love, when you love, or how you love. It's that you love that really matters. And I recognize what he's talking about. Whoever says he knows God and does not know how to love, you're a liar. For God is love. Whoever knows God will love according to the precepts of God. Jesus gave his life for you and I, that we may have life. When was the last time you gave of yourself for somebody else to have life? When was the last time you came to church and said, "God, bless that person. Okay, what do you want me to do to be a blessing to that person? Or go ahead and just be a blessing." You know, and this is my focus. You know this person has a need.
Get that thing out of your mind that you're infringing on anybody's privacy. No. It's because you want to be like that. Doesn't mean everybody wants to be like that. But what we're talking about now is love. Let that love arise in you. And let it come out. And be a life saver and a life changer. Before you became a Christian, you were human. But Christianity teaches you how to function in the potential of love. Read about the Samaritan again and understand that this man did not talk about how he got there. All he knew was like, I'm in the position to help. Do you know that you're in the place of helping others? That's why God brought you into the space of the people around you. I often say to people in this church, you see a problem, you're the one who's the solution. If you don't solve it, somebody else will do it. But you're missing an opportunity to advance in the place of compassion. There was a young boy who happened to find himself in the midst of older people on a mountainside. There, a man called Jesus was ministering. And just as evening was coming, Jesus asked his disciples, how do we feed these people? They looked at him and said, what are you talking about? Jesus had compassion. How do we feed all these people? He said, I don't know. And somebody, look, that small boy there has 5 loaves of bread and 2 pieces of fish. Most likely the boy's dinner. But said, what can you do amongst much? Jesus said, bring it. We know the rest of the story. 5,000 men, not counting women and children, were fed from 5 loaves of bread and 2 pieces of fish. And they got 12 baskets full in return. What does that mean to you and I? You may think what you want to give to me is nothing. But in the hands of God, that's a lot. One smile to somebody can change everything. One phone call can change everything. One hug can change everything. You are not the miracle, but you are the connection to the miracle. Seeing a job that you know that person can do, even though you cannot do it, is connecting the person with the job. Knowing that this person, this will benefit the person, giving the person the thing that you know to benefit the person, makes you a connector. That small piece of bread, that piece of fish you have with you, can be what the person needs to go to the next level in life. Is anybody talking about love today? Is anybody saying, I need love in my heart? Is anybody willing to use and allow love to make you everything you're meant to be? Is anybody saying, I want to love my neighbor as much as I love myself? Is anybody want to be like the Samaritan who was able to look, who was able to heal, to help at least up to the point that he can help that person to give him hope? Are you a hope giver? Or is it that you take away hope from people? Are you willing to help? Are you willing to let love have find its way in you? Let us pray.